Sabbath, all right, that's the one that eats meat or eats all things, despise him that eateth not. In other words, if you can handle everything, all right, then don't despise the person that can't, all right? And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, if you're the one that says, nope, all I do is veggies and you're a meat eater, I hate you, that's a problem as well. What he's trying to address, let's go 2021, shall we? If someone's gluten-free or dairy-free, don't look down on them, all right? On the flip side, if you're gluten-free and dairy-free, don't go around preaching to everybody that need to be like you. Does that make sense? All right, because I got two of you that agree with me. That's all right. What it boils down to is some of these things are a matter of preference, all right? And when it comes to preference over what is the pure, unadulterated, fixed standard of the authority of God's word, those are two different things. You might find that for your health, it's best for you to eat X, okay? And that's good for you, and that's a blessing. Say, thank God that he showed me that. But that doesn't mean that everybody else has to do that as well. Now, that's one application of that thing. It's a little bit deeper than that, however, and we're going to try to explain. But here's what I'll say before I get real far into this. I will say, starting off, this chapter is not just about you. If you wouldn't write any header at the beginning of Romans 14, I would write this. It's not all about me. Because that's really the gist of Romans 14. It's not just you, but others. And how we interact with others and how we deal with others when it comes to matters of disagreement, if you will. And I'll say this as well. It is one thing. Look at Romans chapter 16 real quickly with me. Go to the end of the book, Romans 16. Romans 16. And look, if you would, at verse number 17. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses. Now, it doesn't stop there. It goes on. And it's important that you recognize that it goes on. Contrary to the what? Not the preference, not what works for your health, the doctrine. In other words, where you divide yourself from other believers and other people is when they are preaching doctrine that is against the Word of God. Does that make sense? Up until that point, it's not a matter of separation. I've met people that, man, if you don't agree with them on every small, minute little thing, listen, we're all parents. We've got different kids. We've got different ways of dealing with things. One parent may allow something for their kid, and where there's liberty in the Word of God, I'm not talking about something that's against Scripture. You cannot say, I've got liberty in Christ if it's against the Bible, okay? You don't have that authority. I don't have that authority. We stick by the book. But where the book doesn't say you can't, and the principle is not there either way, you know what you can learn to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, how would you have me to handle this? And if somebody else does it differently, that doesn't mean it's your place to go, you're doing it wrong. And that's kind of what Paul is trying to address here. When it comes to doctrine, people say that for years, here's what the non-denominational churches did. They got rid of doctrinal teaching. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all the mega churches went, you know what? Doctrine divides us. And then for the last 20 or so years, I'm giving you some church history. For the last 20 or so years, and if you just got saved, this may not be something you know. For the last 20, 30 years, you know what's been happening in a lot of these mega churches? The people are starving to death spiritually. They don't really know what they believe outside of Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And thank God, that if you don't have anything else, you at least need to have that, amen? But beyond that, the Bible gives us doctrine to keep us in. Listen, if you got on the road and there were no lines, there's no shoulder, it's just a road, and everyone just kind of figured out, what side of the road do you drive on? Pick a lane, whichever one feels good to you. Anybody want to drive on that road? Do you know what those lines do for you? They keep you safe. Do you know what doctrine does for you spiritually? It keeps you safe. Doctrine is very important for the believer. But where something is not Bible doctrine, don't make it Bible doctrine. Just because you like something a certain way, don't preach it as Bible doctrine. Let me give you a for instance, if you will. For many, many years, the Bible says that ladies are supposed to be dressed in modest apparel. That's what the Bible says. Modest apparel means you're covered. And you're not attracting attention to yourself. And if you're doing that, that's good. Praise God. That's what the Bible says. However, what some people took it to mean is, if you don't dress like this particular thing, and ladies, if you don't have a dress on all the time, I mean, I knew people that were preaching, you know, if my wife's outside mowing the lawn, bless God, she'd be wearing a dress. Okay. Thank you. Okay, you've heard what I'm talking about. You know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've watched this, guys. I've watched ladies go to summer camp, and they want to be modest because the preacher told me you got to wear a dress to be modest. And so they're playing volleyball, and they're jumping. And let me tell you, there's stuff I don't want to see. All right? It ain't modest. You know what happened, though? Someone took a preference and made it doctrine. And you've got to be careful with doing that. All right? Let me give you another one, all right? We believe in it. Oh, man, she's beautiful. That's very distracting. That's just adorable. You know, I've talked to her before, and I you know, whenever she wants something, she goes, "Can I please have this?" And I'm like, "Whatever you want." Honestly, I told her dad one time, man, she had a gun, and she was, you know, "Can I shoot them?" I'm like, "Yes, so go ahead, sweetie. Just be gentle, you know." But what I'm getting at, guys, is this, is we've got to be careful that the things that are not doctrine that we don't. Here's what I see Christians do all the time. The stuff that is doctrine, they don't think is important. Right. Like, do you believe in one Bible? Yes. Oh, that's just a preference. No, God said he promised to preserve his words perfectly somewhere. Where are they? Right? Do you believe in eternal security? Well, it doesn't really matter. Sure it matters. If you don't believe in eternal security, you're always wondering if you're lost. Did you lose it? You know, when you got in an argument with your spouse, did you lose it then? You know, did you get it back in time before you got to church? I mean, the people that don't believe in eternal security, honestly, guys, are oftentimes the most emotionally unstable believers because they're not sure if they're still saved from day to day. Doctrine does matter. But let me just say it like this. Whether you, I'm going to give you a 2021 for instance, whether you keep Netflix in your home, all right, that's your business, all right? Someone's like, "Well, I got rid of it and I'm going to boycott it." Okay, you do that. No, I think everybody else should. Book, chapter, and verse. Well, Netflix is filthy. Do you know what's on Netflix? Listen, I can go down that road. Get rid of your cell phones if you're going to go down that road. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have it or you should have it. Whatever God has shown you, you do it. Some folks, based on their background, it is dangerous for them to have access to certain things. It's better not to have it. Other folks may not be there. That's the whole point of Romans 14, is to make sure that you are keeping in your lane. You've got a lane. Now, listen, I don't know about you guys. When people come to me and say, "Do you hear about so-and-so?" I'm like, "Dude, I don't know how you have time to hear about any so-and-so. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to keep myself in the right place, let alone worry about what somebody else is doing." Can I get a witness? So what I'm getting is Romans 14, it has so much to do with, man, stay in your lane and make sure that what you do is not just about you, but you're thinking about others at the same time. You say, "Preacher, that sounds contradictory." Not at all. It's a matter of you doing what God's asked you to do and where you can be a blessing and a help to somebody. And when you're going to interact with them, and maybe you don't agree with them, you know what you learn to do? I'm going to say what is edifying to them. I'm not going to preach my preferences. Amen? Now, let me give you some things to think about, guys. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. We are to consider others. We are to consider others. And the Lord tells us that. We know that in Hebrews chapter 12, we are to consider him. Talking about Jesus himself. Matter of fact, look if you would at Hebrews 12. Go a few chapters later. Look at verse number 3. You know what you need to do every single morning? Start off with thinking about the Lord. Your human mind is not naturally that way. Your human mind is wired to think about you and to think about what you want and think about the world and think about your problems and think about, that's how our minds work. If you don't think that, then why is the first thing that happens when you get out of bed is you go, "I'm hungry. I need coffee." Right? You know, stick in the IV right there, you know? That's the way we're wired. It takes something supernatural to think about God and to think about others. When you get saved, I know I've told some people tell me I'm just not an early riser. I don't get out of bed easily. You know what my suggestion to you is? Roll out onto the floor and keep your Bible right next to your bed on the floor. Boom, there it is. There's your Bible right there. My son got a trampoline for his birthday. So you know what he did the night of his, the next morning after his birthday when he got his present from his sister, he said the night before, he goes, "Dad, can you put the trampoline right next to my bed?" I said, "Why?" He goes, "In the morning, I just want to roll right out onto it and jump off." And I thought, man, that's awesome. I thought, man, if Christians were that way about their Bibles. Listen, maybe you're not a morning person. I know this much. If you're not a morning person, you'll hate me. If you had to live with me, you would hate me. All right? Morning people are obnoxious to non-morning people. Can I get a witness? All right? Now, it's easy for me to say, get up early. That may not be easy for you, and that's okay. But here's what I'll say. Whatever time you do get up, you know what I would suggest? I would suggest that you start your morning with God. Because if you start your morning with God, it'll be easier for you to have the right mindset about others as well. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Well, you don't know what they said about me at church. You don't know how they treat me. You don't know what I went through. You know what he's saying? Whatever any person may have done to you, consider Jesus Christ first. For consider him that endured. Listen, what he's trying to get at is this. If you think you're going through a hard time, for just a moment, remember what Jesus went through on your behalf. He endured the punishment of sin. He became sin. All right, and every once in a while, we get treated poorly by people, right? And we think, man, I don't deserve this. They misunderstood me. And you might be right about all those things. But I would say this, before you get on the pity train and get yourself out in the left field, remember Jesus Christ. Because he did nothing wrong, and they treated him poorly for your sake. And so that's the point there. And then he goes this, listen, consider him. I'd say that, number one. Secondly, I'd say consider others. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And look, if you would, at verse number 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider what? One another to provoke unto love and to good works. This morning, one of the brothers was provoking another brother. I will not give names. I'll just tell you, it was one of those two doing it to the other one. And I finally said, okay, all right, just give him some time to wake up, all right? And you know what was going on? Hey, look at this. Hey, look at this. And the other brother's like, you know? And you say, what was the other brother doing to the one that was like, he's provoking him. Just not the right way. You know what we're told to do, though? We're told to provoke one another unto love and to good works. You know what that means? Find a way to be a blessing one to another. Consider how your speech comes off. For consider, right, one another. Consider how your speech comes off when you greet one another. Consider how, listen, I'll just say this, right? We live in an electronic age where a lot of communication is this way. You realize every once in a while when you text somebody, text has no inflection. Text has no attitude. You can't tell. So sometimes if someone's having a bad day, you can write something. They take it the wrong way. It may not be a bad idea to pick up the phone and go, hey, look, I don't know how you're taking this, but it's probably not the way you're taking it. This is what I meant. Sorry if it came off the wrong way. You say, was it just considering one another? Consider one another unto love and to provoke one another unto love. I am provoked, by the way, when I get around God's people in a good way. I'm provoked to keep on going. I've heard people say, I just want a ministry. And listen, I think everyone is designed to do something for the Lord. But I'll also say this. For someone that says, I'm just coming to church, don't ever think that way. You have no idea. What if you're not coming to church? What if everybody wakes up one Sunday morning and goes, you know what, it doesn't matter, I'm just not coming. Do you know what that does to those that are there? It deflates them. It discourages them. You know what it is to remember one another? It's to go, you know what, I have a part, I play a part, I'm not just going to think about me. Matter of fact, look what he follows up with in the very next verse. You know how you can provoke one another and you can encourage one another unto love and to good works? Look what he says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of what? The day that Christ comes back. All right? Now, I can give you the doctrinal breakdown for Hebrews and all that, but you can apply that practically to a believer in the church age as well. We should, in regards to knowing that the Lord is coming back, I've met some guys that are like, you know that the vaccine does this, and someone was telling me the other day, hey, listen, underneath Denver International Airport, here's what's going on, and here's what's going to happen over here. And I just said, okay, all right, you know, whatever, that's cool. But here's the deal. If you really believe that all this sinister stuff's going on, the Lord's about to come back, doesn't that mean you should be in church more? So why is it a lot of those folks that ride the conspiracy train, you can't find them on Sunday morning? Why is that? I'll tell you why that is, because they say they believe the Lord's coming back, but in their minds, it has to do with world affairs. It doesn't touch them personally. When it touches your life personally, you go, you know what? God told me to occupy till I come. Therefore, I'm looking out for my brothers. I said this to Emma the other day. I said, hey, where are your brothers? She goes, I don't know. I said, and then you know what she said after that? She goes, am I my brother's keeper? Just like that, I said, actually, you are. You know who said that? A great picture of the Antichrist, Cain. She's like, Dad, whoa, 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 whoa. But you know what you are? You are your brother's keeper. You are to look out for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Anyone that simply says, it's just about me, what I do, it's my life, doesn't matter. We're going to learn in the morning message that when you live that way, boy, it's a dangerous way to live. All right? God wants you to understand we are interconnected one with another. And so the things that we say, the things that we do, how we act, and especially in areas where we may not agree and it's not Bible doctrine, listen, how you eat, what you eat, what your kids watch, what you do for your hobbies. Listen, we have all kinds of varying interests in here and different things that matter to different people. And if it's not against Scripture, all right, then let them be. That's what Paul is trying to get at, because when you put something on somebody else, especially someone that is younger in the Lord, what you're doing is putting a burden on them that God didn't put on them. Let me say this. I've taught our churches for many years. When someone first gets saved, let's make sure we don't try to give them all our convictions. They've got to form their own. All right? So I can't go, hey, listen, don't do this. I'm going to preach the Word of God where it's black and white, but when it comes to my personal ideas about how I'm going to conduct myself, things that I want to do in my home, that's my business, right? And yours is in your home, and that's your business. If it's not against Scripture, all right, you know what there is? There's liberty. Now, I'll be very clear about this, because that word is used and abused, I think, oftentimes in a wrong way. Liberty does not mean you can be a stumbling block to other believers. And Paul addresses that here. If you have your outlines, let me give you a couple of things here real quickly. All right, number one, Christians' disagreements with each other are not always doctrinal in nature. I would say oftentimes they're not. Oftentimes Christians disagree. They get offended with each other over personal things. In my going on 11 years this summer of ministry here at this church, I will tell you, most of the people, not all, but most of the people that kind of get their feathers ruffled, kind of, you know, get out of church, it's usually not book, chapter, verse, I think you're teaching something wrong. It's rarely that. Normally, it's something along the lines of that someone said something, someone did something, their kid bit my kid in the nursery, a pastor asked that person to do it, why didn't he ask me to do it, that kind of stuff. You say, what is that? That stuff is, you know what the Bible calls it? Carnal. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, remember this. Remember that when someone first gets saved and it's not a slam, they are carnal. They are a babe in Christ. So you handle them with care. You don't take a six-month-old baby and hand them a steak and say, why can't you eat it? All right? You don't say, how come you can't handle this yet? Well, because they haven't developed yet. They don't have the teeth to chew, and the list goes on, right? There's a way to handle them, and Paul says it this way in Thessalonians. If you want to find the references in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about treating them gently as a nurse cherisheth her children. Basically, how you take care of a baby. He says, when I came in, when I started training you guys and discipling you guys and interacting with you guys, I didn't treat you like I treated Peter. You know what he does with Peter? He goes to Peter and goes, hey, bud, you're wrong. You remember that story where Peter's acting one way with the Jews and one way with the Gentiles? And Paul sees and goes, hey, man, that's wrong. He went right to him. Paul didn't always do that with a newborn babe. You say, why? He gave them a little bit of room to grow, a little bit of room to breathe. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and notice what Paul says when he writes the Corinthian church. Now, here he's trying to make a point. The point he's trying to make is this. You guys have been saved for a long time. You need to get beyond this. All right. Now, when someone first gets saved, you know what they are? They're a newborn babe. Aren't you glad for the reset button on life called salvation? And you start over. All right, but the way we hold a 10-year-old accountable is not the way we hold a 2-year-old accountable, right? And the same thing goes with believers. Look, I will be very transparent and tell you that it's challenging for me when someone's been saved for 30 years and they're still acting like a babe. Because to me, it's like, hey, you've got to get beyond this. When someone gets saved and they're acting like a babe, I'm like, yep, you're acting like who you are. You're a newborn babe in Christ. That's just fine. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look what he says in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Now look, you don't have to be an ancient languages major, all right? If you look at this word, all right, I know I've got some people in here that love Mexican food, amen? So when you see this, carne asada, all right, you know this means meat, right? So you know what you're dealing with someone that's carnal? They're just living by the flesh. They're still going through the motions of things from the old life. They're still I would say like this, like we learned last week, they haven't quite gotten rid of all the grave clothes yet. They kind of still think they did a week before they got saved in certain circumstances. They're trying to work through some of those things. So Paul's saying, look, I wanted to speak, and by the way, there's three kinds of people in your Bible, all right? There's the natural man. You read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. You say, what's the natural man? That's a person that's lost. The only nature they have is a physical one. It's natural. Everything's natural to them. They've got nothing spiritual going on at all. The Bible says before you're saved, you are dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians chapter 2. So all you are is flesh. That's it. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes on you, you are born again. And the moment you're born again, listen, that in that very moment, do you know what you are? You're spiritual. All right? You say, what does that mean? Well, you read about spiritual maturity in this chapter. What that means is you got all the Holy Spirit you were going to get the moment you got saved. There's not like a second dose. It's not like the vaccine. Like, I got the first one, I got to get the second one. You know, I got saved, but now I need the Holy Spirit. No. When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. You were filled with the Spirit. Here's what has happened since then on a daily and maybe minutely basis, all right? What has happened since that time is you have decided how much of you is going to fill you and how much of God is going to fill you. God is not going to dwell where you allow sin in your life. So you know what God's going to say? Hey, look, if you want to do that, that's fine. You can have whatever you want. It'll grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and you'll be full of you. You're still saved, all right? But you know what you are? You're carnal. You're living by the flesh. So you know what he says? He says, look, there's, in essence, here's what you got to understand. When you're lost, this is all you are. But when you're saved, you know what you have a chance to be? You have a chance to be spiritual. You don't have to be carnal. That's a choice based off of you deciding what you want to fill your life. How you think and how you make your decisions and your value system. It'll all point to you being in one of these two categories. And that's your choice. All right, but what Paul is saying is, look, when I tried to talk to you guys, and you've been saved for a while, I couldn't treat you like mature Christians because you were still fighting about silly stuff. Go back to chapter, number one of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number one. If you want to see what I'm talking about, let me show you in chapter one. I've had people say, did you go to this Bible school? Yeah, then I won't fellowship with you. Okay, you know what I say to that? Grow up. Grow up. Now, look, if it's a doctrinal thing you disagree with me on, all right, I can handle that. Let's talk about it. But if it's just, I just don't like that guy. I don't like that guy. It's like high school stuff. And you got preachers acting that way. There is no excuse for that. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. Brother Sion, you paying attention? The house of Chloe. All right. The house of Chloe. That there are contentions among you. All right, look at that, contentions. The Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith. This is not that kind of contention. This is a different kind of contention. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. You know what pride says? My way is better than your way. Well, is it doctrine in the Bible? No, it's just what I want. Okay, then why are you looking down on someone else? You see what I'm talking about? Look at verse number 13. I'm sorry, verse number 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. Look down if you would. For Christ, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And you know what he ends up talking about? He ends up talking about the fact that, you know what, when it comes to this whole process of who you're connected to, the Bible says one watered and one planted the seed and one watered, but God gave the increase, all right? In other words, let's not let silly things divide us. Personalities and preferences are not Bible doctrine, okay? So let's not let that divide us. I would say like this, doctrine should and needs to divide, so for clarity, for us to know where we stand, that is necessary. But for us to take upon ourselves the place of God to say, I know this isn't in the Bible, but I like it this way. And if you don't agree with me, I'm cutting you off. There's way too much of that in Christianity. And God is not for it. You can see that there in that passage. Now, let me say this much. What's going on? Go to Rome or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, since you're already in that book. What's kind of going on is this. You've got new believers coming from a pagan background, okay? Now, keep this in mind. We went through this a little bit ago, all right? And we were talking about Easter a couple weeks ago. Understand that outside of the nation of Israel, everybody else was pagan. All right, so, I mean, no one really worshipped the one true God in purity. All right, it was the nation of Israel, and that was it. There were those who, as the Bible says, would follow their conscience, Romans 2, and God would keep them accountable to that conscience, and you read about that, and that's how God dealt with folks, if you will, before the cross. All right, there was the matter of the commandments, and if you did not have the commandments, you were not of Israel, you were held by the standard of conscience. We read about that. All right, but as far as a pure worshiping of God, everybody else was pagan. So when it comes to like half the things that we do in our lives, the roots are pagan. And so what Paul is going to address is, look, the meat in and of itself is not evil. The meat is an inanimate object that you can eat and that you can consume. However, pay attention to why you're doing what you're doing. Listen, Christians get hung up on this a lot. They get hung up on the what and on the how. And they forget that the most important question to ask is why. When you get judged at the judgment seat of Christ, you can read about that in 1 Corinthians 3 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you get judged there, it's not just going to be, what did you do, Brother Sean, with the life that God gave you? No, it's going to be, what did you do with what God gave you? And more importantly, why did you do what you did? So the Lord does not just look at what we're doing, but he examines the why. There are times, if we're being honest, that we manipulate people, and then whenever they call us out and we backtrack, no, that's not what I'm doing. The Lord knows our why. The Lord sees all of that, all right? And on the flip side, there are times you're trying to help somebody, trying to be a blessing and trying to help them along, and they just say, leave me alone. You go, okay, I'll back out, but Lord, you know I'm trying to help. And the Lord sees that. The why matters to God. I'll put to you this way, Easter eggs. If some parent wants to do an Easter egg hunt with their kid, okay. If another parent goes, well, we don't really do that, okay. But if your solution, if your reasoning behind it is, I don't like it because the Easter eggs are pagan, and therefore I'm now going to tell everybody in the church that if they ever did that, that they're pagans as well. Can I just say this right now? The kids that are going out looking for the eggs, they're not worshiping Osiris. They're not worshiping Ashtaroth. They don't know those things exist. All right, it's like the Christmas tree. I've met some people who say, I don't do Christmas trees. You know why? Because in Jeremiah 10, you know, they put the thing up. First of all, if you read Jeremiah 10 in its entirety, they're worshiping the tree. It's not just like someone hanging out some ornaments of their family on a tree. They're literally worshiping the tree. If you study historical context, there were people that had their worshiping of gods, and they had them in groves. A grove is like a little forest planted for the dedication of their gods. That is different than what is going on today. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. But please don't walk around telling everybody else that they're evil because they've got a Christmas tree. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right, listen, what I'm getting at is if you don't want one, fine. But here's my thing. If I'm that confident in what I'm doing, I don't have to make you like what I'm doing. Listen, I'll just be honest with you. I'll be transparent. Some of you may like it. Some of you may not like it. I love Christmas. You know why, though? I like giving gifts. That's one of my things. I love to give gifts to people. I enjoy it. Some of you like, I don't get that at all. Well, maybe you like to receive gifts. Let me know and I'll get you one, all right? But here's the point. Raising my hands. That's me right here. Amen. I like the gift, preacher. I want the gift. You got the gift of eternal life. Bam. God bless you, all right? But what I'm getting at is this, is that I'm not going to make you like it if you don't like it. That's your business. All right, that's between you and the Lord. I've got friends that don't do it. They like to celebrate Thanksgiving more. More power to you. No problem at all. But what the Lord is getting at is this. It's not just what you do, but why do you do it? Listen, at Christmas time, I don't get a big pig and sacrifice the pig inside my house to the god of Saturnalia. I don't do that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, I'm not into that. Why? Because that's not what it's about for me. You know what it's about for me? Remembering that my God, loving enough to come here in human form and lived a sinless life and took upon him the form of a servant. And he started his life as a servant and he died as a servant. He delayed his kingdom for me. That's why I do it. So whatever you do, you need to get to why you're doing what you do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And look at verse number 27. Here's why I'm saying this, guys. Some of you don't know this. We had a guy one time come here, and he walked in. We have, at Christmas times, we have these pine-looking trees over here, and we have lights on them, okay? And they're technically not Christmas trees. They're just winter decor. The guy walked in. He goes, "If those are Christmas trees, I'm leaving." I wish he said to me, I would have said, "They're not, but today they are." Right. Just for you, buddy. Let me tell you, you may think I'm being mean. People like that are abusive to other Christians. I will not have it in this church. I don't like that stuff. You say, what is it? It's manipulative. If it's you don't live up to my standard, then you know what? You're not a good Christian. That stuff is, you know what that is? I knew I had this up here for a reason. My boy got that for his birthday. He got two of them. I said, I'm taking one of them to church. That was the occasion right there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 27. Now it's on YouTube and Facebook Live that pastor used a fart gun in church. That's right. Come to my church. My pastor uses a fart gun. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 27. If any of them that believe not, so a lost person invites you to a feast, right? That's what he's saying. And ye be disposed to go. In other words, you kind of have to go, right? Let's say that it's a situation for work and you're supposed to be there, all right? And it's a meal. There's nothing wrong with a meal. Nothing wrong with the meal. But look what he says. He says this. He says, whatsoever is set before you, eat. Asking no question for conscience sake. You got to understand, these were Gentile pagans. They usually, when they get together and there's a feast like this, someone is going to take some of that meat and say, we're offering this in thanks to this God. And they're blessing the food like we do with our food. But to the real God, they did it with false gods. All right? And notice what it says here. Asking a question for conscience sake. But if any man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols. In other words, they bring you the meat and go, man, I sure am thankful for Jupiter. This meat's for him. Look what he says to do. Read it. Does he tell you to go ahead and enjoy that meal? Mm-mm. You say, why? It says, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own. Oh, so it's about other people. Yep. But of the other. For why is my liberty judgment of the man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Wherefore, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do all the glory of God. Give none offense. Watch it. Neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles. Those categories would include lost people. Lost Jews, lost Gentiles, or watch it, the last category, the church of God. It's interesting how many things in the Bible break down in threes: natural, carnal, spiritual. When it comes to, what I do with my marker, when it comes to the three groupings of people in Scripture, what you have, and this is true even in the church today, is you've got Jews, and you've got any portion of Scripture is going to apply to Jews as the nation of Israel, all right? Or Gentiles, Romans 2 addresses that, Romans 1 and 2, all right, or the church of God. And in this particular body, in this particular group, it doesn't matter whether you are Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, he goes on further to say this, it doesn't matter in Christ. And this is the funny thing. This is what the world's trying to get after. You know what the idea of communism is, right? Everybody's the same. Commune, community, common. Everyone's the same, and basically the way it's worked all throughout history is everybody is poor. We're all the same being poor. That's how it's always worked out, all right? This is not a political commentary. This is a historical commentary. That's the truth, all right? Now, what they're wanting is no difference between men and women, black and white, this or that, old or young. That's why if you look at any revolution, whether it was the Nazis, you say, oh, the Nazis weren't communists. They were a different kind of communist. They're called National Socialists. They're still the same idea. The idea is the government runs everything. Hail to the government, all right? And when God is not God, someone's going to be God, and oftentimes it's government. And look, you look at the Nazis, you look at what Pol Pot did in Cambodia, what Mao did in China. Do you know what all those movements did? They were very smart. They started with turning the youth against their parents. You say, why would they do that? If you break down the family unit, everyone's dissatisfied, and they look to God, to the government to be God. And so when they did that, you see what they do. Kids have the same authority as parents. There's no difference. Men and women are the same. No difference. Do you realize that what the world is trying to do at the tip of a gun, Jesus Christ did on the cross? Right here. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female. You know what you are in Christ? The same. The same. Now, I understand when it comes to the home and authority and all that, there's distinctions. I get that. But when it comes to your position in Christ and when it comes to who you will be for eternity, there's no difference. You think God's up there going, man, woman, oh, black, white, oh, Puerto Rican, Asian. No. You know what God's doing? Child of God, child of God, child of God, child, son of God. Yeah, that's what he's doing up there. You say, what is it? It's everything the world wants. And so Paul is saying, look, whether it's this group or this group or this group, don't leave any room to offend these people. Now, at some point, you're going to offend somebody. It's going to happen. Don't go out of your way to do it. Okay? Can we all say, hey, without trying, I'm going to offend somebody probably with what I say at some point in my life? That's what James says in James chapter 3. If any man offend not in word or tongue, that same man is a perfect man. There aren't no perfect men in this room. Amen? Miss Jen, can I get a witness? No perfect men in this room? Wave the hanky, sister. All right. Now, if you weren't here for Wednesday night, a couple Wednesday nights ago, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just picking on Miss Jen. But none of us in this room are perfect. All right. So you know what he says? Go back to Romans 14. You know what he says? He says, avoid these disputations. What I've learned is when people are always trying to argue about nothing, they're just babies. And some people have been saved for 30 years and they still live that way. And the Lord says, don't get involved in that. Just avoid that stuff. There are times, let's be honest, where someone says something and it's almost like you feel it to be an invitation to get your two cents in. And if they're not asking your advice, I've literally had people go, Pastor, why didn't you tell me? You didn't ask my advice. You know why? Because oftentimes I jump in there and go, hey, here's what I think you ought to do. Slap, stay out of that one. Okay. So you know what I've learned to do? When you want advice, biblical advice, I've got a situation this morning where someone's in jail. And I've been asked to help. And I'll be glad to help. You're going, who is it? Is it brother? No, it's no one in this church, so calm down. Everyone's looking around going, who's missing this morning? Stay in your lane, Christian. Stay in your lane. It's not a member of this church or anyone that's frequented here often, to be honest, in the last few years. But I'll tell you this. I've learned to try to just say, you know what? If it's not something that they're asking for, I'm not going to jump in. You know why? The Bible talks about it being like a man that meddles in matters that aren't his. It's like a man that grabs a dog by the ears. You know what's going to happen eventually? You're going to get bit. So it's better if you see a dog and rawr, 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 it's probably not a good idea to go, let me grab your ears, right? It's better to go, I'm going to walk this way, right? Look what he says in Romans 14, verse number 1. Not to doubtful disputations. Doubtful disputations. You know what that means? That means, listen, anything that is not black and white, that you can't resolve in Scripture, and it's just a matter of preference, and you start arguing with people, you're wasting your time. Christian, let me say this. That's why I'm telling you, to go online and to argue with strangers about politics is a waste of your time. Tell me the last person that got saved and baptized and joined this church because you argue with them about how the Democrats want to steal your liberty. Or the Republicans are evil because of it, or whatever. All right, you know what the point is? The point is those are doubtful disputations. Do you know that one of the greatest types of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is Daniel? Do you know what Daniel was associated with? The dissolving of doubts, not the making of doubts. All right? And so what I would say is this. I would say be real careful. We're in 2021. Be careful when you share material with other people that's not Bible doctrine. All right, and it causes them to start like doubting everything that they're doing as a Christian. Like, should I believe like this? Because that preacher says so. Well, listen, if that preacher says so, but it's not Bible doctrine, just step on out of that place. All right, doubtful disputations. You know what he talks about? Paul talks about genealogies that bring about questions. You know what that is all about? It's all about going back, and it was a big thing for the Jews to go back and look at genealogies. And he says, look, now that we're in Christ, you going back and trying to dig up all that stuff where all these other folks are going to feel like they're left out anyways, all that's going to do is bring up more questions than it does answers. If you're in conversation with believers, can I say this? The job should not to be to bring up more questions and doubts in our lives, but to dissolve them. All right? Now listen, you can put whatever political sticker on your car you want. That's your business. I'm not going to judge you for that. I'll simply say this. Understand that when you identify with a certain thing and then you put a scripture sticker next to it, automatically people are going to go, mm-hmm. I don't care what party it is, or, you know, Biden, Trump, doesn't matter at all. I'm telling you, do whatever you want. You have liberty to do it, but remember those who are around you. Is it making sense? All right? So look what he says. Not to doubtful disputations. One believeth he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Now that doesn't mean, look at Acts chapter 15. It doesn't mean that you'll, you know, the person that ate veggies all the time was physically weak and therefore... Yeah, some of you bloodthirsty meat eaters are like, yeah, them vegetarians, they're weak. That's not what he's exactly saying there, all right? Look at Acts 15. Let me give you kind of the benchmark as Gentiles in the body of Christ. The benchmark is this. Look at Acts 15 and look, if you would, at verse number 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. Now, you know what that is? That was kind of their summary of whether or not you have to keep the law to be saved. And here was his answer. These are the things that God has always been against in any dispensation. All right? And so he goes, look, at base, this is your baseline. No, don't take this the wrong way and walk out of here and go, that's the standard of perfection. If I'm not doing those things, then great. No, that's like the baseline. That's like, hey, look, you should know better than to mess with this stuff to begin with, but I'm going to make it clear and in writing and tell you that you can be saved and still do those things, but it's not a good idea. And so that's what the whole thing is there in Acts 15. What I'm getting at is this. If it is not black and white in Scripture, be very careful about imposing your own conviction, your own judgment on another brother or sister in Christ. Now look, if you would, back at Romans 14 and we'll be done. Romans 14, verse 5. And we'll come back to verse 4 next week. But what we're going to get into next week has a little bit more to do with holidays. All right? Now the actual, let me give you this. Let's move forward a little bit. There we go. We'll get to that. Look at that. Holiday comes from Holy Day. So what we're going to talk about is like people celebrate different ones. And is this wrong? Is that wrong? And what does the Bible say about that? Look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Amen. We'll stop there and pick it up next week. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Let's all stand, stretch your legs a little bit, maybe greet one another after Sunday school, and be a blessing to each other. That's what we're here to provoke and to love and good works. Yes, sir.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yeah.
About the baseline, what does it mean about things strangled?
Things strangled. What he's talking about, it is actually connected with the drinking of blood from the Old Testament. And basically the whole idea was oftentimes the connection between basically taking a live animal and strangling it without letting out the blood was something that the pagans did in their worship of their gods. And so he's saying, look, you guys stay out of that. That was the old life. Let's not go back there. That was a good question, brother. Matter of fact, why don't you close out in prayer? Amen. 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 Let's take a break.